your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won. And won. And won.
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Wednesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, January 13th, 2021. And today is a day that a lot of Raider Nation has been waiting for. Actually, yesterday was the day. Tuesday was the day a lot of Raider Nation was waiting for. And that was when the Raiders were going to make a decision on the new defensive coordinator, who was going to get the job. Ultimately, we now know who the coach of the Raiders is. It's Gus Bradley, formerly Seattle Seahawks defensive coordinator, formerly Jacksonville Jaguars head coach, formerly Chargers defensive coordinator, most recently Chargers defensive coordinator, and now the Raiders defensive coordinator. So definitely have a lot to get to on today's show. Coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line, the number 707-654-4693. Even got a tweet in there that I'm going to try to get to on this show, if not on today's show, definitely on tomorrow's show. And if you want to tweet at me, you can at your boy Q254. Get a lot of people to hit me up by way of Twitter. Definitely appreciate that. So that's all coming up in segment number three. Segment number two, I really want to just kind of get into the Gus Bradley hire and you know, what that means for the Raiders and what my thoughts on it are. But I also want you to hear from Gus Bradley. He had a media session. I mean, immediately, maybe an hour after they announced his hiring, that he had a media session with the Raiders and the local media. And so got to be able to break down a little bit of that. And so I want to bring that to the table. But then again, like I said, I just want to kind of talk about the hire in general and what I think about it. A lot of people hit me up throughout the course of the day, and I apologize if I don't hit everyone back immediately with my new schedule on Fox Sports Central Texas. I'm still trying to figure that out. I'm still trying to figure out that schedule, and everything is kind of hectic right now. So I'm a little bit slow on Twitter to respond, a lot slower than I used to be. So I'm trying to get there. So bear with me. But yeah, a lot of people hit me up and want to know my thoughts. So I'm going to get to that. But I also, like I said, want you to hear from the new DC of the Raiders. That is Gus Bradley. So that'll come up in segment number two. Here in segment number one, news and notes of the day. And you already know how we're going to start. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. So Gus Bradley gets hired. After all, he was one of the first names that was even associated with the Raiders as far as the defensive coordinator position. He's familiar with John Gruden. They had times together in Tampa Bay. So they know each other very, very well. Spent a lot of time with John Gruden, as a matter of fact. So he has a lot of respect for him. And I know a lot of people are thinking, oh my God, it's just Gruden hiring his friends. Again, all the coaches across the NFL, they always hire people that they're comfortable with. So don't even trip off that. Everyone is kind of tied with everyone. That's just how it goes. But the Raiders put out a presser saying Bradley, who most recently served four seasons as defensive coordinator for the Chargers, brings 15 years of experience to the position, including 4 years as a head coach of the Jaguars, four seasons as the architect of the Seattle Seahawks' exceptional defense from 2009-2012, landed his first NFL position as defensive quality control coach on John Gruden's staff in Tampa Bay in 2006, also served two seasons as the linebacker coach with the Buccaneers 2007 and 2008. And then just go ahead and fast forward to last season, Bradley oversaw a defense that ranked in the top 10th in the NFL in total defense and ranked 9th in the league against pass. Bosa garnered his third Pro Bowl selection after totaling 7.5 sacks, and rookie linebacker Kenneth Murray paced the team in tackles with 107, the second most by a rookie in 2020. So Gus Bradley officially in as a defensive coordinator of the Raiders. I like the hire. I'll tell you off top, I like the hire. It is not the flashy, Wade Phillips name. I get that, and that was the one that I had pounded the table for, but I think it was all pretty obvious that Wade Phillips was not going to get that job, and it was going to be, Gus Bradley. It was going to be maybe Joe Barry. Chris Richard had an outside shot. Ultimately, it goes to Gus Bradley, and that's fine. And Vinny Bonsignor from the Las Vegas Review-Journal and Raider Nation Radio as well immediately put out a tweet. Matter of fact, he's the one who broke the news about Gus Bradley, but he put out a tweet, a follow-up, saying two names that I'm hearing connected to Gus Bradley's new staff with the Raiders are Richard Smith and Ron Miles. They work with Bradley in LA as the linebackers and defensive back coach, and then boom, he confirmed a little bit later that those two guys indeed will be on Gus Bradley's staff, linebacker coach Richard Smith and defensive back coach Ron Miles. And there was a tweet that he put out a little bit later saying that he got a text from an NFL coach on the hiring of Gus Bradley and Richard Smith and Ron Miles. And the tweet just says, Gus is a stud. All three of those guys are unbelievable human beings. So Take it for what it's worth, but that's an NFL coach giving his endorsement on the hiring of those three guys. And speaking of endorsements, players immediately endorsed the hire of Gus Bradley as well, including defensive back Trayvon Mullen, Mad Max Crosby, and even Allen Robinson, who's a free agent wide receiver for the Bears right now. He even was like, hey, you know, tip of the cap to Gus Bradley. So from everything, it all sounds like everyone is pretty pleased with this hiring. And I know a lot of Raider Nation is not thrilled with it because, again, it's not the flashy name. It's not the Wade Phillips. It's not the immediately going to come in and make this thing a playoff team or almost feel like it's guaranteed. But I do think that Gus Bradley is a good hire. He's going to do good things. Yes, he mainly runs that cover three, and you'll hear from him talk about that a little bit later coming up in segment number two. I think that that's a lot easier for the young players in particular to learn. I think it's one of the easier schemes to learn for these defensive backs that are really good athletes and really good players, and they're still trying to learn the NFL game. I think that'll help them in that cover three. But I will say they've got to be able to get home, and I mean the defensive line, because Gus Bradley normally does not blitz a lot. He tries to get his guys to get home with just the front four. So that's something that Mad Max Crosby, that's something that Cleve Farrell, that's something that Jonathan Hankins, that's something that any of those guys along the defensive line, you know, Carl Nassib, if he's there, I mean, those guys are going to have a job, and that's going to be to get to the quarterback, because you're not going to see Gus Bradley send the house very often. He's not built like that. That's not what he does. So Gus Bradley in, and now you can start to see how they put this defense together, something that they need to do quick, fast, and in a hurry. But you'll hear more from Gus Bradley coming up in segment number two. Also, I wanted to bring up a tweet that I saw from Amik Robertson, and this had nothing to do with the Gus Bradley hire, but I thought this was really cool from a rookie that you really didn't see very much from. You heard a lot of hype about in the offseason leading up to the season, but you never really heard much and saw much from Amik Robertson. You saw him out there make a few mistakes. He had a couple decent plays in his rookie year, but you really didn't see a whole lot. But he put out this tweet. I thought it was cool. He said, "Rookie year, I took everything to the chin. I could say I've grown so much. I walked into the organization green as hell, but left with a lot of knowledge and learning experiences, good and bad. But I know it'll all bring the best out of me. I'm foaming from the mouth for year two." I think that's awesome. Again, that shows that a player is healthy, or that shows that a player is hungry and realizes that, you know, they knew nothing, or he knew nothing about the NFL game when he walked into the organization with the Raiders, and you know, just kind of learned by trial, you know. And there was always the conversation about Amik Robertson all year long. Something I asked Vinny Bonsignor quite a bit about was, hey, what are you seeing from Amik? What are you hearing about Amik? Is he coming along? You think you're going to see some burn? And he said, there's just certain guys that learn slower than other guys. And so it sounded like Amik was one of those slower learners, but you could tell by that tweet that he really understands that he's got a role to play. And you know, again, I think with the cover three scheme that Gus Bradley brings to the table, I think Amik Robertson has an opportunity to go out there in year two, hopefully with a real training camp, and be able to learn and be a productive player for the Raiders defense in 2021. And the Raiders also made a roster signing on Tuesday. They put out a release saying the Raiders have signed wide receiver Trey Quinn to a reserve future contract. Quinn is a 6-foot, 200-pound wide receiver out of SMU. He was selected by the Washington football team in the 7th round, 256th overall pick of the 2018 NFL draft. That is Mr. Irrelevant. Quinn spent two seasons, 2018 and 19, with the club, appearing in 15 contests, recording 35 catches for 273 yards and two TD receptions. Last season, Quinn had a one-year stint with the Jaguars and appeared in one game. He's a native of Lake Charles, Louisiana. Quinn finished his collegiate career at SMU after originally beginning at LSU, appeared in 38 total games, compiling 136 receptions, 1,512 yards, and 13 TDs. As a senior in 2017, Quinn was a first-team All-American Conference selection after starting all 13 games and setting a school record with 114 receptions on the year, leading the nations with 8.8 receptions per game. So that was the write-up on wide receiver Trey Quinn, who the Raiders did sign to a reserve future contract. Does that mean that he's going to be a player with the team in 2021? No, not at all. But that means that he's locked in with the team right now, and at least they have him on the roster so they could take him to training camp. And look, that doesn't even guarantee that. They might all of a sudden come up on some other guys, and they might release him and sign them. So just know that he's on the squad right now, but January 13th, it doesn't mean a whole lot until training camp. And then once he gets there, then he has an opportunity to try to stick around the team. So that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Obviously a lot to do with new defensive coordinator Gus Bradley, and you'll get more Gus Bradley coming up in segment number two. As you'll hear from him, he had a media session that he did immediately following the announcement of the hire, about an hour afterwards. I mean, it was quick, it was fast, and it was definitely in a hurry. So you'll hear some of his sound bites. You can hear the whole things on Raiders.com. You can check it out on their Periscope page or YouTube page. You could do the whole, it's like 19 or 20 minutes. You'll hear a few of the little sound bites that I pulled from the media session, and then you'll get my thoughts on just Gus Bradley in general. That's coming up in segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Before I get into that, though, I want to tell you about TurboTax. You're unique. Your taxes are unique. TurboTax Live has experienced tax experts who are going to listen to you. They're going to learn about your unique tax situations and answer any questions that you may have. And look, it is tax season, right? You might have started investing in something and you need some reassurance from an expert that you're doing things right. They can help you with that. Maybe you're now self-employed. You need some expert advice on what qualifies as a home office deduction. Or maybe you'd rather have an expert file your taxes for you. They could do that for you as well. So TurboTax Live experts can answer your questions, give tax advice, review your return before you file, or even do it all for you. TurboTax Live gives you confidence that your taxes are going to be done right. Intuit TurboTax Live, file with the help of an expert or let an expert file for you. Get it done today. TurboTax Live. Segment number two is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to jump into some more Gus Bradley conversation as he comes over from the Chargers to the Raiders. New defensive coordinator, still has the 4-3 scheme. He's a cover three type dude. He's had a really, really good defenses. Obviously, he was a member of the Legion of Boom, or he was the orchestrator behind the Legion of Boom. Him and Pete Carroll up in Seattle, they did a really, really good job. He took that, parlayed that into a four-year head coaching stint in Jacksonville, where they had some really good defenses. A couple seasons, they brought in a lot of talent, but they had some really good defenses. And then with the Chargers most recently have had some really, really good defenses. And again, have had a lot of talent, but they have had some good defenses. The Chargers were not a very good team in 2020, but it was not because their defense stunk. It was just because, well, the all in all of the team was not very good. So he gets hired. Vinny Bonsignor from the Las Vegas Review-Journal and Raider Nation Radio 920 on Tuesday, before I even went to work. I think it was close to, it was like 11-something Central Time. He tweeted out that Gus Bradley is the guy. And look, Gus Bradley was a guy that was already talked about from the very jump. You know, as soon as the season ended, Vinny and Vic Tafer had both put out that Gus Bradley is kind of the leader in the clubhouse. Joe Barry, the Rams linebacker coach, that was a guy that was talked about. Chris Richard was talked about. I brought up Wade Phillips. Others brought up Wade Phillips, including Vitti, but most people thought that that was kind of a pipe dream. And, you know, I was hoping and wishing that it would be Wade, but all in all, kind of had a good feeling that it wasn't going to be. So Gus Bradley's the guy. So that's who you got. And before we even hear from Gus Bradley, I will say, I think there's a lot of Raider Nation that is really overthinking this. And I saw so many people like poo-pooing on this hire, and you haven't even given the guy a chance to get into the damn, you know, facility and even try to put the defense together. It's just like immediately like, oh my God, that's terrible. What a terrible hire. Like, how do you know? I mean, you know, how do you know it's a terrible hire? Yeah, he has familiarity with John Gruden. That doesn't mean he's going to be a bad hire. I mean, the dude helped put together this really, really good Seattle Seahawks defense. And I'm not saying that they're going to be the Legion of Boom or the second coming of Legion of Boom, but how do you know that they're not going to be really good? How do you know he can't take some of the young talent that they have, the Max Crosbys, the Amik Robertsons, the Damon Arnett, the Trayvon Mullins, the Jonathan Abrams, you know, LaMarcus Joyner, if he sticks around? How do you know that he can't put that together and put together a really good defense? Like, the dude has been around the league for 15-plus years as a defensive-minded guy for a reason. I mean, it's such an overreaction. I get it. Again, Gus Bradley's not the sexy name, you know, but it doesn't mean that it's not a good name. Just because it's not the one, just because it's not, you know, like, I don't know, and you go and you meet a woman out in the streets or something like that, and you're like, oh, she's fine, I want to take her out, and then you do. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. And then there's some that you just get to know, and you're like, wow, they're great. You know what I mean? Like, how do you know Gus Bradley's just not the one that you just got to get to know? How about you just give it a chance? See what happens, you know, and I normally say that that's what ugly people say, is that that person has a great personality, but that's just, you know, that's just, I don't know. I saw so much overreaction to how bad the hire was, and I don't think it's a bad hire at all. I think it's a really good hire. I think the cover three scheme is going to help these young dudes kind of come along a lot quicker than they would. You know, I didn't really like Paul Gunther's scheme. It was very complex. I don't think this is very difficult for the young dudes to pick up. The young guys when they were in Seattle, and I mean the young guys like a Richard Sherman, like a Earl Thomas, like a Cam Chancellor, like all those guys, you know, all those guys that were studs in the Legion of Boom, They were all young at that point, and they put that thing together quick, fast, and in a hurry. So I will say off top, Raider Nation, give it a chance. I mean, you're already – I saw people saying, oh, well, they're going to suck for the next 3 years. 3 more years of terrible defense. Like, how do you know? Man, I get it, man. I get that the defense hasn't been great. I get that, you know, the team hasn't made the playoffs in a long time. But believe me, I'm very well aware of this. I know it didn't work out with Ken Norton Jr. I know it didn't work out, you know, with Paul Gunther. I get it. But I really do believe that this defense has an opportunity to be good because there are some talented dudes. They just got to be put in the right position. I think Gus Bradley has an opportunity to do that. So without saying anything else, let's go ahead and get into what he actually had to say and not what I'm saying about it. Let's actually hear from him. So off top, it would only be right to hear Gus Bradley's opening statement of his media session as now the Raiders defensive coordinator.
First of all, thank you for everybody showing up. I'm very excited about this opportunity. I know things have moved pretty fast since the end of the season, but had really a great visits with many people from the Raider organization, including Coach Gruen himself and many of the staff. So just first of all, I want to appreciate the opportunity to be a Raider now and excited about the future and what it brings.
So there was just the opening statement right there. Short, fast, quick, and to the point. You know what I mean? From Gus Bradley, just saying, you know, hey, thank you for joining me and thank you for having me as a member now of Raider Nation. So one of the questions I asked off top was, you know, what attracted him to being the Raiders defensive coordinator? Because, well, the Raiders defense has not been good. So what did he see that attracted him to this job?
Well, it all started, you know, obviously Coach Gruen and I have had experience together when we were together at Tampa. I was fortunate that he hired me from North Dakota State, both him and Monty Kiffin. So we've known each other for quite a few years during that time. And we stayed in contact, you know, when we see each other at the combine. But what I was really impressed was when I came in here to interview, it was just the vision that Coach had. And I had a chance to meet with, you know, with Mark Davis. He was in on the interview and shared his vision and to hear John Gruen's vision, Mike Mayock's vision. It was something that was very good for me to hear and to see just how they are so closely related. And it was just a very, very positive experience.
All right, so there's Gus Bradley talking about what attracted him to the job. And you heard him talk about John Gruden's vision, Mark Davis's vision, Mike Mayock's vision. So what's Gus Bradley's vision for the Raiders defense that needs a lot of work, that's got actually people pretty fired up thinking, I don't think this is going to work. This isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. Well, what does Gus Bradley think? What is his vision for this team's defense?
Yeah, I think that the style that you should see is a team that plays with great effort, great enthusiasm, great toughness, and a defense that plays smart. That is our key. That's the style when people talk. Now, if you just said, hey, what is our non-negotiables? That is fast, physical, and we've got to find a way to get the ball. And we got to set up opportunities for the offense to score, give them possessions. And, you know, every call that we design is really, whether even if it's just a three deep, like you say, or man coverage, we want the players to have the mindset that every call that we have is designed to get the ball. And it's very important, the communication that take place within the defense. We're going to add defenses. We're going to be very multiple, but not at the expense that we don't play fast. That's first and foremost.
So there you go right there, Gus Bradley on his vision for the Raiders. You know, obviously his first day on the job, officially first day on the job, but, you know, fast, physical, got to find a way to get to the ball, got to be a smart defense. I mean, just, you know, I like those traits. And again, it doesn't have to be something complex, you know. It doesn't have to be rocket science. It doesn't have to be something that you came up with in some scientific lab. I mean, defense is not that difficult. The game of football is not that difficult. It really comes down to your base. How good can your base be? And that's going to be something that it's going to have to remain to be seen. You know, he's running a cover three for the most part. He's not going to blitz. He's going to make sure there or expect his front four to be able to get home. So that's a job that they're going to have to do. So while we're talking about visions and we're talking about the young dudes, what is the vision for the young dudes? You know, I'm talking about the Damon Arnetts. I'm talking the Trayvon Mullen, Jonathan Abram. You know, what is the vision for guys like that? Expectations. Here's Gus Bradley on that.
Well, I think first and foremost, it's to build what obviously, the staff, previous staff has done here. I mean, you're doing a great job with fundamentals and things like that. And then you involve a new system. What I would say is it is a system now we have in place. And there's things that are non-negotiables, but we also don't want our players to be robots. There's things that we do that we feel strongly about, and it's really based on fundamentals and, you know, things like communication, fundamentals, tackling, you know, guys, a get off, you know, up front with the defensive line. So there's some non-negotiables like that. It's an exciting defense to play, and I would say that the players will be very excited to be a part of it because they know that they're going to have the ability to play fast. And I think as our job as coaches is really to evaluate the players and then put them in position to where they can make plays. And like I said, for me to be fair to the players, that's what's going to take place the next month or so. You know, we're going to be heavy in tune to it. I'm excited about a guy, Coach Rod Marinelli is going to be a part of this staff. And he was another big reason why this was so important, I think, to take a look at this opportunity. I've got great respect for Coach Marinelli, and he'll be a great sounding board along with, you know, guys like Travis Smith and understanding some of the personnel things. But as coaches, you got to, you know, watch the tape and formulate your own opinions as well.
So you hear him give that answer right there. And multiple times, one, he talked about Rod Marinelli and the respect that he has for him. Again, Rod Marinelli's not going anywhere. He's going to be the defensive line coach just like he was in 2020. So that was the guy that you already knew. John Gruden made that perfectly clear that he wasn't going anywhere. He expected him to be a part of this defense for quite a while. But you heard him continue to talk about playing fast, playing fast. These guys are going to know that they have the opportunity to play fast. So a question that I thought was great, and we'll wrap it up with this, is, well, how do you know? How do you know that these guys, these young guys, are going to understand what they're supposed to do and be able to have that ability to play fast? Because that's a huge key in this Gus Bradley defense. This is something that I'm going to monitor and pay attention to like a hawk. Because if they can't play fast, I say it all the time, a thinking man is a slow man. If they cannot play fast, they're not going to be able to execute this defense. So how does he know? How does Gus Bradley understand that they're going to be able to play fast?
I think back when it all started, a little bit of history, when we were at Seattle, when we, you know, there's some of us that came up and went into a room and kind of designed it. You know, there's always things that are copied. But the foundation of the defense, really, when it was brought to our attention, was a try to design something that allows young players to come in and play early. You know, it's not a defense that you're going to come to us and say, I need this 12-year veteran, I need this 13-year veteran, because, you know, they're the ones that understand the system. And you know, it wasn't brought up in that fashion. So we knew we had to design something that players could learn and understand. And maybe it was simplified for them and makes it hard on offenses. And that was the whole idea behind it. So, you know, back in the day, that's why you saw Earl Thomas come in and play early, Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, you know, Bobby Wagner. These were young players that played early. So it is a big part of it. We try to design it so players have a chance to come in and play early. But yet, I mean, just like anything, there's, you know, defenses, you've got to have be multiple, and you can't sit in one thing or two things the whole time and allow offenses just to tee off. So there's some things to it, but I think really what's heavy on it is the fundamental part of it. That's the detail that comes into it.
So that was one of the biggest points that I had to really start even this segment with, is the fact that, you know, when they were in Seattle and they designed the defense, they did it knowing that they had a bunch of young dudes. You know, I mean, Richard Sherman didn't come out of Stanford as an all-pro. You know, he came out as a fifth-round draft pick. Now, Earl Thomas was a stud at Texas. I get it. But, I mean, look, they had a lot of young dudes that were expected to play and play early and be really good, and those young studs were able to bring it. So can you imagine if he's able to get Jonathan Abram to play at a high level? If he's able to get Damon Arnette to play at a high level, if he's able to get Trayvon Mullen, you know, to be able to play at a high level, I mean, this could really end up being something very, very positive if he could put these guys in the right position. And I do believe that with this cover three scheme, and if they can get the guys, and I think that's a big if, they can get the guys up front to do their job, which is going to really, really require a lot of guys up front to do their job, and very possibly probably going to need to bring in a veteran on that defensive line, maybe a guy like a Leonard Williams, maybe a guy like a Vic Beasley can thrive in it. I mean, who knows? You know, maybe a Tack McKinley, who the Raiders still have contact with and are still, you know, kind of wrapped up with in the organization. Maybe they can get those guys to perform at a high level. Who knows? But I still think they need somebody that may not be a guy that played for the Raiders in 2020 to actually be on that defensive line to get pressure on the quarterback. And that's something else he said multiple times in the media session, that You know, everything starts up front, man. You got to be able to get to the quarterback and cause problems. So we'll see what happens. But I'm excited about the hire. You know, it could be just falling for a banana in the tailpipe, but I don't think so. I think that this is a good hire. It's not the flashy name that everybody was expecting or wanting, but I think that there's a chance for this to be really, really good, especially if you can get those young dudes to go out there and perform, like an Amik Robertson. And maybe even a Tanner Muse. He didn't play at all in 2020. Maybe Tanner Muse could step up and do something. Who knows? But if these young dudes could play and play at a high level, relatively high level, this thing could be pretty good because that offense is really, really good. I'm excited to see what Gus Bradley is able to do. So that's all I got for you for segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. And if I have enough time, I'll get to a tweet as well. Before I get into that, though, I do want to tell you about rockauto.com. You know by now that they're a family business. You know that by now they've been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. What you got to do? rockauto.com is where you got to go to. Shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, and they have everything. They got engine control parts. They got brake parts. They got tail lamps. They got motor oil. They got new carpet. I mean, it just doesn't matter, man. If you got a car that you drive on the daily, take it to work, take the kids to school, do what you got to do, or maybe you got a car that you roll out of the garage on Sunday, they have you covered from the beginning to the end, from A to Z. And by the way, if you buy these parts online, you just a few easy clicks, clink, 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 they'll be delivered directly to your door. So how convenient is that? RockAuto.com is unique and super easy to navigate through the website. You can see all the parts available for your vehicle. You can choose the brands, the specifications, and most importantly, the prices you prefer. Yeah, the prices. They're always super low, and they're the very exact same for professionals as it is for do-it-yourselfers. So there's absolutely no reason to spend up to twice as much for the same parts. So right now, go to rockauto.com, see all the parts that you need for your car or truck. While you're there, the only thing I ask you to do, write Locked On Raiders podcast. That's how you heard about them. That's how they know that I'm doing my job. Great selection, super low prices, all the parts your car is ever going to need, all from rockauto.com. Segment number three is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your time to shine, your calls, your text, straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with Big Ben, the Raiders version. Here's a call from him. He's talking about the hire of Gus Bradley and his takeaways from his media segment. Here he is, Big Ben, the Raiders version.
Thank you. Quick reaction to the Gus Bradley interview. Heard there was an interview today. Couple quotes from him, him talking about start up front and building up front. Yeah, that D-line is so important. Like, we see what the Washington football team this year and even the 49ers last year, you know, going to the Super Bowl basically on the back of their defensive line. Both levels, the linebacker level and the secondary level, you know, play so much easier when you have a good defensive line in front. A couple other quotes. We want to be multiple, but not so much that we don't play fast. Also, the D is designed for young players to come in and play early. Sounds like it's a shot across the bow to Paul Gunther. You know, obviously a very complex defense where young players, you know, have struggled with it. You know, Paul Gunther had to bring in, your favorite player, Vontaze Burfict, and even the safety, Reggie Nelson just to get other players lined up correctly. That just sounds wrong. Lastly, he talked about fundamentals, tackling and get off the ball on the defensive line. It seems simple, but I like this hire, and I really like this hire after these quotes. All right, this is Big Ben at 73. Thanks, Q.
There he goes, Big Ben, the Raiders version, talking about the hiring of Gus Bradley. And I think it's a good hire for all the reasons you mentioned and then some. You know, I think he's going to do some good things with the Raiders, the young guys in particular. Hopefully he'll have them flying around. I know that's the goal. That's what you heard. That's what I heard. You know, and again, I've said it before, the Chargers didn't stink because the defense wasn't good. The Chargers stunk because all in all, they were just a bad team. So thank you so much for that call, my man. I definitely appreciate you. Next up is a text from my man, Eric. And before I get to his text, we sound the alarm one time because Eric is a new booty. He says, hey, Q, this is Eric, new booty. Just recently found your podcast and I love it. Bet this is your first text from the 401. Anyways, I had a quick question. So with the new DC coming in, do you think there's a chance that we put some of our defensive players that are playing out of position back where they played their best ball? Or do you think that that's a Gruden thing and not a Gunther thing? Just curious what your thoughts are on that. Thanks for doing what you do. That's from Eric from the 401, a new booty here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. And Eric, that's a great question. And you know what? I want to bet money, and I'm not a betting man, even though I'm a host of the Locked On Bet show. I'm not really a betting guy, but I would just kind of think that with Gus Bradley's, with his, you know, the way that he has the been in the league for quite a while, I think that'd be a question that he would probably ask in the interview. Like, hey, if I feel like these guys are out of place, how much leverage, how much leeway do I have? Can I move these guys around? I would think that that would make sense. And, you know, if John Gruden is just hell-bent on keeping guys in certain spots like a LaMarcus Joyner or a Corey Littleton, you know, playing not the way that they're normally used to playing, then John Gruden should be the defensive coordinator, you know what I mean, and not hire a guy. That should be interesting. I do think that he's going to be able to put them in the best position to succeed. That's just going to be my gut feeling. Of course, I'm not in there. I don't know. You know, I'm not talking to the guy directly, obviously not around the coaches or anything like that, but gut feeling tells me that Gus Bradley is going to have the leeway and the ability to move guys and put them where they need to be most successful. I think John Gruden knows his defense needs to hurry up and get things turned around quick, fast, and in a hurry, and he really needs to kind of get out of the kitchen. You know what I mean? Sometimes they say there's too many cooks in the kitchen. I think there may be too many cooks in the kitchen with that situation. So that is something to pay attention to and monitor. I'm glad you brought that up. Next up, I got a call from T3 Raider Facts with the five quick hits of the day, talking about the New Year's and what the Raiders have done. John Gruden returning to the sideline, Marcus Mariota and the salary cap dropping, former Raiders that are now still playing in the league, and the defensive coordinator position and stabilizing the O-line. Here he is, T3 Raider Facts.
This is T3 Raider Facts with my five quick hits of the day. Number one, first of all, Happy New Year to everyone. Despite a weird year which saw us fall just short of the playoffs, I have a great deal of hope and optimism going forward. The main thing to note is that the Raiders have served notice. You can't just circle them on your calendar as a win if you're an upcoming opponent, and that is a huge step in the right direction. Number two, I've gone on record numerous times saying that I thought initially that paying Gruden all that money to come back in 2018 was a mistake. Well, I'm backtracking a little. Let me just say that Gruden was the right man at the right time. The Raiders are now back to relevant, and they are now an organization that guys want to go to, and not just to get paid. Let's see what Gruden does over the next 2 years. Number three, Marcus Mariota was a great luxury to have in 2020. But with the lowered salary cap and the step up by Derek Carr, you have to part with one. And the guy you need to stay with is the guy who's already there in place. Now, I still say that the Raiders need to draft a quarterback in round two coming up. Not because I don't like Derek, quite the opposite. The Raiders simply need to plan for the future. There will be some talent in round two, and I don't think the Raiders can ignore that this year. Number four, enough with the whining and crying about guys who are on rosters of other teams still playing in the playoffs. You can find guys all across the league who are pieces, but they're just that, pieces. Now, if the Raiders can find a couple of those pieces during the current offseason, maybe next year some other teams will lament about who the Raiders have that they let get away. But we can't worry about that now. Just sit back and let the process unfold. Number five, once the defensive coordinator position gets locked down, I think one of the next priorities is stabilizing that offensive line. Richie Incognito is more than likely gone. As much as I'd like to trust that Trent Brown was worth the investment, I just can't justify it. An acquisition of a tackle during free agency is on my list, as well as making every effort to re-sign Denzel Good. But the Raiders simply can't overpay. It's going to be a tricky year. Mayock and crew simply have to do it better than everybody else. Okay, Raider Nation, like you, I'm not happy about the fact that Wade Phillips is probably not coming in, but a change on the defensive side is coming. And if we can tweak a few things, I feel confident we can move an 8-win team to a 10 or 11-win team next year. Stay passionate, Nation, because passion always outlives fashion.
There he goes, T3 Raider Facts right there. Thanks for the call. You bring up some really good points, especially about the salary cap and spending wisely. I think that's something that the Raiders really, really need to pay attention to. Matter of fact, something I talked about in the podcast just the other day, they've got to be smart about the way that they spend their money. So thank you for that. Next up is a text from Bruce from Mississippi, MISSISSIPPI, Mississippi. Here's Bruce saying, Q, what up though? Bruce from Mississippi. You think Gus Bradley will have some of his former Charger players follow him to the Raiders like the Cowboys came with Marinelli. That's from Bruce from Mississippi. Real quick and to the point. And, you know, very well could. I mean, he could have some guys that could possibly be, you know, free agents. I've seen Melvin Ingram possibly be an option for the Raiders. But, yeah, I think guys always go out there and look for guys that they're comfortable with. I saw some people mention Earl Thomas. I don't think that he's a guy that they'll go bring in because of Gus Bradley. But, I mean, you never know. I think he's going to try to get some guys that are familiar with what he does that he's comfortable with, similar to what Paul Gunther did with Reggie Nelson and Vontaze Burfict. And, you know, I mean, just every coach wants to bring in guys that they're familiar with. So I could easily see that happening. And I'll be interested because, look, he's coached some real deal players. I can see Richard Sherman coming in as a veteran. And I don't think that that would be a bad idea. I think that'd be really good. I honestly would love to see Richard Sherman go back to the safety position because he's a ball hawk. You know he's a guy who could turn the ball over. I think with him being able to look in the backfield, I think it would really help extend his career similar to what it did when Charles Woodson went back to the safety position. So that's something that could be you know, on the horizon. So just kind of look out for that. So thank you so much for that text. Appreciate you. Next up is a call from Brother Marquise in a 305 at Miami one time, calling to talk about the Nelly Aguilar convo I had on Monday's show. And he is in agreement, but he also isn't worried about paying too much money to Nelly, and he'll tell you why. Here he is, Brother Marquise in a 305.
Q, Raider Nation, what's going on? It's your Brother Marquise. Just giving you a call because I heard your conversation on Nelly today, this morning. I definitely agree with you. I don't think you can overplay for him, but to be honest with you, I'm not too worried about it. I don't think you're going to have to pay that much. I think I would love to have him back. I think it's important to have him back because although I do think there's some potential with Bryan Edwards and Henry Ruggs, and also we already love Hunter Renfrow, I do think that he did have a pretty nice rapport with Derek Carr, and he adds a lot more speed to the field, and the more speed you can have, the more dangerous our offense is, which was proven this year. But the reason I don't think you're going to have to pay that much is because you're talking about a absolutely loaded wide receiver, class. Not only in the draft, which we can go through that with Jalen Waddle and Deontay Smith and Ja'Marr Chase and all that kind of stuff, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, ad nauseum when the draft season really starts to kick in. But I'm talking about the free agent wide receivers. First of all, you're going to have the salary cap going down, that's going to depress a lot of these contracts. You're not going to have as many unless you're just a flat-out stud, big-time contract. I think a lot of people are going to have to take another year deal, prove a deal, just to wait for the market to go back up, the salary cap to go back up. But even if that's not the case, I mean, you've got an absolutely loaded wide receiver creating class. Allen Robinson, say what you want, but Sammy Watkins, but he's still a pretty coveted guy. Corey Davis at Tennessee had a hell of a year. Okay? Will Fuller. Who else we got? We also had Kenny Galladay, Juju. There's so many other ones. Chris Godwin. I mean, and I'm just coming off the top, and I'm sure there's probably three or four more that I'm not even thinking about. But my point is, all those guys, even for older guys, T.Y. Hilton, A.J. Green, you know, all these guys are going to be probably much higher thought of than Nelson Aguilar. If all those guys hit free agency, which I'm sure maybe there'll be a couple that are franchised or whatever the case may be, but if all those guys hit free agent market or most of them hit the free agent market, you're talking about Nelson Aguilar probably being like the 9th, 10th wide receiver available, you know? So I don't see it. I just don't see him having a huge market. I think he's going to be much more valuable to the Raiders than other outside teams looking at him. So, well, that's just my 2 cents, Q. Keep up the good work.
There he goes right there. Brother Marquise in the 305, rep Miami one time. And look, bring up some good points. You know, I do think at 27 years old, he's going to try to get as much money as possible. And in my opinion, teams like the Jags, the Jets, the Patriots, they all have a ton of cap space. You know, Washington, the Bengals, Miami, they're all above $30 million in cap space. Now, the Patriots probably won't go out and break the bank because that's just not how they're cut. But, you know, the Jags, I could see them going out and spending some extra dough on a guy like Nelly Aguilar, who had a really good season and can stretch the field and be a weapon for incoming quarterback, most likely number one overall pick, Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, I could just see see that. And the Jets as well, you know, unless they go and get a Devontae Smith at number two, you know, the Jets, that is. You know, the Bengals at some point, if they don't get the guy that they want in the draft. You know, I mean, I can totally see that. But with the draft coming up after free agency, you know, I can see some of these teams going out and spending some extra dough trying to get them players. Miami, they could use a guy with that can stretch the field and be an extra weapon. I just think that, you know, there's going to be some teams that are going to try to go ahead and use some of that cap space that they have to bring in some weapons to try to get their team, you know, better and quick. I could be totally wrong. I could be totally off base, and I'm okay with that. But that's just kind of my gut feeling. So I do think there's a chance that they can you know, raise the value of Nelly and maybe get them out of their price range. But, you know, again, like I mentioned on Monday, they just got to be smart about the way they spend. They just got to be conscious on the way they spend and, you know, who they decide to keep, who they decide to move on from, who they decide to restructure, how they decide to manipulate the salary cap, because basically that's what it's going to boil down to. Yeah, getting the most bang for your buck. That's what 2021 is going to be. 2020 was a crazy, weird year. 2021 is going to be how can teams get the most bang for their buck? I think that's the best way to put it. So thank you so much for that call. Definitely appreciate hearing from you. Still got a text from Joe in SoCal. Gonna have to get that tomorrow. Diego in Georgia, gonna get that tomorrow. A tweet from Swan Dog. My man PE in North Carolina. Jordan in Oregon. Got a lot of feedback still to get to. We'll do that on tomorrow's show because I'm just gonna run out of time here. So, well, Raider Nation, we have it. Gus Bradley is the defensive coordinator. We'll be able to talk about that for a little while. Talk about, you know, how he's gonna change the game or how he potentially could change the game defensively for the Silver and Black. I'll get some people on here talking about Gus Bradley and the way that he, you know, puts his defenses together, just to give you a better idea. Got a lot of good ideas that we'll bring to the table here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. So enjoy your day. As always, Raider Nation, make sure you wash your hands, stay safe, wear your mask, do what you got to do. You know, love your family as always. And most importantly, just win, baby.